This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ethan, I'm trying something different with the bumper music. People have recommended that I do this for a while, and I don't know why it's taken me so long. But as you know, every day I publish the set list.
Of course,
we used to
do
it when Abby was here before you took over. Abby wrote it out. I liked the way it looked when it was handwritten, sort of like a band would do for a show.
Yeah.
But then your handwriting, I didn't like at all. No offense, because mine is worse. So I started kind of doing it on my iPad. With this kind of retro look behind it, and then I type it out. It looks like I'm typing in cursive.
It looks like handwritten, though.
Yeah, it's a little, but it you know, it has a little bit of a retro flair to it. But then every once in a while, I joke how there's probably only two or three people out there that pay attention to the bumper music. But I do get a lot of response. I get response on Twitter. I had a couple of people on Saturday night at the Kill Meet event say that they had found and discovered some songs from my bumper music list. So what I'm going to try to do, and I did it last night just as a test, not only will I publish, I don't know why it's taking me so long to do this, not only will I publish the list, but I'm going to put a little list together. Last night I did it on Tidal, that's my music service, but I might do it on Spotify just because that's more user-friendly for people.
I think people would absolutely love that.
So I have a Spotify I actually created today. That was sweet, Love is Like Oxygen, and I put a list together today, so I think when the show ends, I will blast it up there. I actually put it up there earlier just as a test. I said, this is a test, this is only a test. So I will put that up, and that way people can click on the songs and they can listen to
them
as well.
So is this something that you're going to be adding to every day as you get different bumper songs, or is this just a flat playlist of Mark Reardon songs?
Yeah, no, this is going to be specifically the bumper music from each day. So right now I have this is on Spotify. It says Mark Reardon Show bumper music 325/25.
Oh.
We started with Michigander and Spinning Image.
So you're going to do
Fernand,
day by day.
Right.
Okay.
So there's going to be, typically there would be 9 songs because we have 3 an hour. So there you go. I'm going to make it user-friendly for the audience. The demand was there, Ethan, and the good news is that on most days, you're going to be able to create that list on Spotify while I sit in there, so it's going to add to your workload. I'm sure you're thrilled.
Well, you know what? As long as I don't have to write it down, I'm okay with that.
It's actually pretty easy, because I messed with it today. It might be something I request some help with. I don't mind doing it myself, but on a particular day when I don't have time, I might have you do it.
I tell you what, real quick, for kicks and giggles, I'll need to have my wife write out one of your show lists for you, because people tell my wife that she has perfect handwriting.
Oh, really?
The perfect handwriting.
See, the thing about the set list is you don't want it really that perfect. You want it be a little, you know, because then it looks real. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Like, if you go backstage, you know, I'm kind of joking about how these set lists are handwritten. I don't even know how often that happens.
Kind of like the Saturday Night Live, right? Like when they announce the guests and all that and who's going to be performing. It's kind of like that same kind of format that you use.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that, you know, when a band does a set list, most of the time, and if you go see an act, whether it's an Enterprise Center, the Amphitheater, at the Pageant, or a smaller club, they all have, you know, set lists. So they come out, you know, the rodeo come out right before the show with 3 or 4 pieces of paper, depending on how many members of the band. Then they tape them, you know, to the area in front of the amps, and that's how they decide, you know, what the show is going to be. They type most of those out, so I don't feel too bad about typing at the factory. They had, it was really interesting. I took a picture of it. They had all these set lists back there from all the bands that had come through, and it's kind of fun. But
cool.
I'll continue to remind people, and then, you know, when the show wraps, I'll put the list up there, and I'll put this playlist as well, so you can hit the playlist. I was going to do it with Tidal, but not as many people have it. You know, more people have Spotify,
right? I
didn't
even know what Tidal was.
Most people don't know what it is. It's Tidal. It's my preferred music service. I actually have have several, but I love it quite a lot. All right, here's something that's interesting that's been kind of revealed in the Doge experience. We're going to talk with Congresswoman Wagner in the next hour about some of this. By the way, it's Telephone Tuesday, so I'll take some phone calls here. I have some questions about the intolerance on the left coming up after Ethan's news. But Elon has revealed, and the Doge team, that $312 million in COVID loans were given to kids and dead people. So they say that 5,600 loans went to businesses run by kids age 11 or younger, totaling $312 million. Okay, that sounds a little fraud-like, right?
The case of fraud was with the Small Business Administration, where they were handing out loans, $330 million worth of loans to people under the age of 11. I think the youngest, Kelly, was a 9-month-year-old who got a $100,000 loan. That's a very precocious baby we're talking about here.
We're tackling the fraud, waste, and abuse of the agency. We've seen, hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud go unprosecuted, so we're taking that on. We have a zero-tolerance policy for fraud, and we continue to crack down on it and make sure people are held accountable.
Yeah, that's in the cabinet. That's Kelly Loeffler, who is the administrator for the Small Business Administration. You'll hear Trump get in here at the end.
And you have a lot of that. You found far too much of it. It's a pure fraud. We like to use the words waste and abuse because they sort of sound good, but many of these things are pure fraud.
Yeah, they are pure fraud. But of course, the left doesn't see that, and they want to protect all the fraud that they possibly can. We'll take some phone calls in a few minutes. Before that, Sue is going to be back on Thursday. Ethan is pinch hitting here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
But not today.
You know what I say? I say good for those kids getting those loans, trying to start a good life for themselves.
Hey, if you're an 11-year-old and you have $100,000 that's deposited in your bank account, that's probably not, you're not off to a bad start. It's just that you're not supposed to really do that at the expense of the taxpayers.
I just cannot imagine having that much money at that young of an age.
Well, again, these were accidental.
If it was actually, yes.
The one thing that we all knew when all this money was being handed out 3 or 4 years ago, that there was going to be billions of dollars in fraud. So a lot of this really isn't unanticipated or surprising. It's just the manner of rooting it out and actually exposing it at this point.
Today is National Medal of Honor Day, Mark. So if you know anyone out there that has a Medal of Honor, make sure you wish them a happy National Medal of Honor Day. It's also a much less serious holiday. It's also International Waffle Day. Are you a waffle guy, Mark?
Love waffles. Went through a period. I have a waffle maker. Really like to make waffles. I've kind of gotten off that little kick, though. Haven't made some waffles. I do go with the frozen waffles. Sometimes I cheat.
Like the Eggos?
Yeah.
Do you prefer, is it waffles, pancakes, or French toast?
See, that's tough. I really like French toast.
I'm going French toast, number one.
That's almost an unfair question, Ethan, because in any given circumstance, I could go with either one of those. Really.
They're not losing.
Like a good waffle is hard to beat.
You're not losing either way.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight.
Now, I do cheat on the pancakes. My daughter likes these too. All I do is go to Walmart or Schnucks and I get the frozen pancakes, they're not super mini, but they're, the smaller pancakes. They're fine. They're frozen, but they're really good.
They do the job.
Exactly.
It is springtime, which obviously is good for a lot of reasons, but one of the negatives that does come with that is the amount of dust and pollen at this time of year kind of gets a little bit overwhelming. So I found 5 ways to stop all that dust buildup in your house.
The worst part is on your car. Like at this time of year when you start, and we're going to love that you can see all the buds on the trees right now. The flowers are starting to come out. But if you leave your car either out or the garage is open this time of year, it's just going to be covered. You could wash it and then it's kind of covered with a green layer.
Yeah, it's that yellowish green layer.
Right.
If I see that, that's how I know that my eyes are going to be gone within minutes. So here's the top 5 ways to stop all the dust buildup in your house. Number 1, regularly maintain your filters and vents. You should change your HVAC filters every 3 months at a minimum, and every 1 or 2 months if you live with pets. You should also clean your vents regularly.
My thermostat has been yelling at me, yelling at me for like 2 weeks, change the filter, and I haven't listened. So I need to listen. It's pretty easy to do, and I just keep forgetting to do it.
Number two, run an air purifier. They'll take dust and pollen out of the air and blow clean air back out, and that can really help people with allergies and asthma as well. Vacuum every couple of days. This one kind of goes without saying.
Good luck with that. Yeah, every couple of days?
That's what it says. Listen, Mark, you of all people, I expect you to have one of the little vacuum robots.
I don't have that.
Point.
I don't. Look, I vacuum every couple of days, certainly in the kitchen and areas like that,
sure.
But it's not the rest of the carpet's not going to get vacuumed every couple of days.
Number four, this one's a hard one this time of year. Keep your windows closed, especially if the air quality is poor, but keeping your windows closed can help minimize that pollen, dust, other particles from entering the house. And then the last one, leave your shoes at the door. Shoes are the easiest way to track dirt and dust through your home, so leave them by the front door.
You know, a lot of people, Ethan, I went to high school with a kid, and when we would go to his house, you have to take the shoes off first thing, right? Which, by the way, that's a pretty good policy, because if you think about the disgusting things that are on your shoes, I don't have that policy. So I wear my shoes in my house, and you know, you're doing exactly what you just described. But I wish I could enforce that policy of no shoes in the house. It's a hard thing to do.
So I was never, we were always a no shoes in the house growing up. So that's
because mom and dad?
Yep. So it's kind of just naturally just been what me and my wife do now. Okay. Maybe this word. There's a new word in the English language, and perhaps this could be up for word of the year. We'll have to get the thoughts of the rest of the crew when they return. Have you ever heard of boomerasking?
I have not.
It's not about baby boomers. It's a term for something you've definitely experienced, and perhaps you've even done it. Boomerasking is when you ask someone a question just so you can talk about yourself.
Ethan, that's actually the concept of my entire life. What are you talking about?
You want the question to come back at you like a boomerang.
Yes.
Boomerasking. A common example is when you did something amazing over the weekend. You might show up on Monday and ask a coworker, you do anything fun on Saturday? Well, listen to this.
Listen to what I did. Yeah, I was at the Brian Kilmeade show.
So a blogger coined this term a few years ago, but it's been trending after a study found that there are three common versions of it. Number one, ask bragging. Like, how was your vacation? Mine was great. Number two, ask complaining. How's work? Well, yeah, I've had the worst week. And then number three, ask sharing. It's like ask bragging, but without the bragging. You might ask about something random, like what do you think about Tesla Cybertrucks? Just so you can talk about how dumb you think they
are. Well, you could also do like, how did you do in the NCAA tournament over the weekend? I had a perfect bracket.
I did that a lot last year.
Last year.
Not as much this year.
When you did have a perfect bracket.
Basically,
yeah, we pointed
close.
This out. Ethan had one of the best brackets in the country last year. He was just dumb enough to not have any money on the line, so he didn't win a cent.
I just love when it gets brought up. The study found we do it because we think it's a polite way to bring something up, but it doesn't always necessarily land that way. I thought that one was kind of funny. So let me tell you about this one. I think yesterday I told you about an interesting plane incident regarding a guy in I think it was the guy that got forced out of a bathroom from the pilot. His pants were still down.
That's right.
This is another interesting one. So imagine you're flying overseas. You got to the airport early. You made your flight, and then this happens. A United Airlines flight from LA to Shanghai had to turn around over the Pacific Ocean on Saturday because, get this, a pilot forgot his passport. It was already set to be a 14-hour flight.
You got to be kidding me.
They turned around about an hour and 45 minutes in. They landed in San Fran to swap out the crew. They got to San Fran about 3 hours after taking off from LA. Passengers were told there had been a crew-related issue, but didn't hear about the passport thing until later. They waited for around 5 hours before finally taking off again. They ended up landing in Shanghai 6 hours late. And guess what United did from there? So nice to all of these passengers that they gave each of them a $15 meal voucher.
Let me tell you something. If they got a $15 meal voucher not knowing the circumstances, I hope they didn't sign anything because that's unbelievable, isn't it?
No kidding.
Wow.
Crazy.
Hey, we just got to go run back a few hours to get the passport that the pilot forgot. Why couldn't the pilot just take them to Shanghai and not get out of the plane?
That's kind of what my question was. Like, you think that there would be some sort of, maybe if they're staying there for a night or something.
Well, I'm sure they
issue.
Were. Right.
Anyway.
Because of the length of the flight, you're not going to get right back.
Yeah,
it's probably not
point.
Even allowed
but
to get back in and fly again.
Staying in the airport or something? I don't know.
No, you're going to need a passport.
Yeah, that's fair.
I did something very unique one time. I was going to Montreal. I don't know. This was about, 13, 14 years ago. There was a movie. I actually was playing a zombie in a movie called Warm Bodies. I was an extra in a pretty good little movie, but I didn't make the cut on that. But I get to the airport on a whatever afternoon when I'm flying to Montreal, and I put my passport down for the international travel, and it's my son's passport. I grabbed the wrong passport. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. You have to have your real passport.
Right.
So my wife was, luckily, I you know, because when you do international travel, you're supposed to give yourself more of a buffer. I did in that instance. My wife had to come and bring the, she was thrilled, by the way, bring my passport. Look, I looked at it, and then I kind of looked, you know, my sons looked like me a little bit. I probably didn't even give it too much of a glance, but that was almost a mistake right there.
Holy cow. You know, you see the name, and you're like, okay, I'm good to go. Okay. Fireball Whiskey is giving out a lifetime supply of the stuff, but there's one big wrinkle. To win, you have to be at least 90 years old. They claim they're doing it because Fireball is oddly popular with older demographics. Quote, senior citizens love Fireball, and who are we to argue with their years of wisdom? Anyone born in 1935 or earlier can sign up at lifetimesupplyoffireball.com. Or, if you think you're young enough to drink but too old to use a computer, you can nominate them. The deadline is March 31st.
I never had Fireball because I quit drinking a long time ago. I knew a lot of people that used to do it. Doesn't seem like it's as much in vogue now, which is maybe why they're appealing to the 90-year-olds.
Okay, we got to run through some quick birthdays, this date in history, and then we'll wrap up. Danica Patrick, 43 years old today, of course, the auto racing superstar, and we can't forget the GoDaddy girl. Nate Bargatze, 46 years old today, the stand-up comedian. Elton John is 78. Happy birthday to Elton John. And today would have been Aretha Franklin's birthday. She passed away 7 years ago. Of course, the Queen of Soul, music icon. 31 years ago today, The Mighty Ducks was released. 29 years ago, there's some Oscar stuff that was going on around this time. Braveheart won Best Picture Oscar. Mel Gibson won Best Director 24 years ago. Julia Roberts wins Best Actress for Erin Brockovich. Russell Crowe won for Gladiator. 23 years ago today, The Bachelor premiered on ABC. And then 3 years ago today, in 2022, Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins passed away, sadly, at the age of 50.
On the Brave, you've seen Braveheart or you haven't?
I have seen clips of it. Okay. I have not seen the entire movie.
It's a great movie. It was one of those movies. I was reviewing films in Columbia, Missouri at the time. I saw the movie on a Thursday. I remember this because saw the movie on a Thursday. It was so blown away when it opened on Friday because I saw an advance of it. On Sunday, I went back and saw it again with my then wife. I said, this movie is so damn good. And I was so happy. The thing about Braveheart is, you just said it was released right now, right? Or was that the Oscar?
It's the Oscar.
Okay.
It was the Oscar.
The thing about it is that it was released almost a year before it won the Oscar. That's not typical. So a lot of movies used to happen more back then. In other words, a lot of movies that win the awards, they're, you know, put out at the end of the year for awards consideration. So it's not very often where a movie that comes out in February or March the previous year hangs on enough to win the Best Picture. Braveheart was one of those.
Very interesting. Oh, my friends always quote the part, hold, that's the part that we always jokingly quote. Okay, and now to wrap up Ethan's news with our random fact of the day. Philadelphia is the only city that's had four major sports teams in a championship game in the same year. 1980, the Phillies were in the World Series, Eagles in the Super Bowl, the 76ers in the NBA Finals, and the Flyers in the Stanley Cup Finals. But only the Phillies won the title, so a lot of heartbreak in 1980 in Philadelphia.
There you go. That's Sue's News for a Tuesday. Ethan Hannaford pinch-hitting. Sue will be back on Thursday. It's Telephone Tuesday. We're going to take some calls coming up next. Hang in there. Well, we started a couple weeks ago taking phone calls in this hour. We're going to try that experiment here again this afternoon because it is what we call Telephone Tuesday.
Telephone Tuesday. 314-241-9797.
You can jump in here if you have something on your mind, but I kind of want to focus on something here about the intolerant left and see if anyone might share some stories. So there is a woman that I've shared information about on the show before. Her name is Sasha Stone, and I know Sasha. I don't really know her personally, but I've had interactions with her over the years because when I was a film critic, member of the Critics' Choice Association, as Paul Hall is, who joins us every Friday, Sasha runs a website called Awards Daily, and it really, it's like the premier movie handicapping site for the Oscars out there. And I had followed her and we were Facebook friends. And every once in a while, I would give her some information sort of off the record about the Critics' Choice when there were discussions about some films. And, you know, all we did was trade messages back and forth. I never really knew her. But she became so unhinged at some point. This goes back a while to maybe the Obama administration about Republicans that I literally had to unfriend her on Facebook. And I don't ever do that. But with her, she was just crazy. Well, then she kind of turned around completely, like completely turned around and became someone who is fighting for free speech. She is just ridiculously done with the people on her side on the left. And she writes about this on Substack on a regular basis. And she puts things into pretty good perspective because she was a hardcore lefty. So she wrote this week, a reader wrote to ask for my thoughts. And this person writes and says, I read your article last night, listened to the audio today while doing some chores. And as usual, it provoked a whole variety of thoughts. The one I wanted to convey to you with this letter is the change I've seen on the left, which still baffles me. Just so you know, this person said, I'm a kid of the 1970s. I grew up in Santa Cruz County, California. Even back then, it was probably the most liberal county in the entire U.S. of A. I grew up among hippies and Hell's Angels. In the 70s, there were a lot of 60s residue, as we called it in my hometown. And that was Boulder Creek in Santa Cruz Mountains and back down in Santa Cruz itself. But the thing about all these aging hippies was that they were fun people and incredibly tolerant. Most were really cool to hang with and would talk about anything with anyone. It was really a non-judgmental environment, which had its downsides in tolerating drug use and some bad behavior. But, you know, overall, it was a situation where the whole thing was to tolerate, don't harsh anyone's buzz, and live and let live. So that was kind of where the hippies were, certainly in the 70s. And what this person said to Sasha is, the left today seems more like the Republicans back then, uptight, never friendly, always frowning, always walking around with an air of implicit disapproval of everyone else. There's no sense of taking it easy. They're no fun. And they're people who you just don't want to be around. One of the things that I thought in the 80s, and I don't even know if I've ever mentioned this on the air, but it used to piss me off. I had, before I was in television, you know, and was in the latter part of my journalism, so I had long hair past my shoulders, an earring, and I was still a conservative, no matter what I look like, because you judge people by the cover, it's a mistake. And I always thought to myself, why is it impossible? And now we've seen this, but for decades, I would say, why is it impossible for anyone who's a Republican to not be, like, just a little cool, not a complete geek and dweeb? There's still plenty of them out there, but why can't some Republicans be just a little cool? Like, can they have cool hair? Can they have tattoos? Can they have an earring? Yes, they can. But back then, it wasn't possible to do that because we were so uptight. Things have changed. So this person to Sasha said, obviously, you write a lot about what happens, so I won't go into detail. But listening to your podcast today, I remembered an event that in retrospect may have been when the change started. Now, I think the person's kind of off the rails on this one, but I'm bringing it up anyway because Sasha mentions it in her response. The letter writer says, do you remember Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife before he became vice president? And I certainly do, because this was something where she was crusading to ban minors from purchasing music with explicit lyrics, right? Her parents' music resource center formed an alliance between Democrats and Republicans on social issues. And this was the beginning of the end for the tolerant left. It was when the establishment began to unite on social issues, not just economic and foreign policy issues. I don't know if she's right about that, but she asked Sasha that opinion. And the response from Sasha Stone is, the intolerance I see on the left right now is unlike anything I've ever lived through. The Republicans when I was growing up weren't like what the left is like today. It's difficult for those of us who come from the left to understand. And I'll just toss this out as an example of behavior that I've mentioned a couple of times before, but this really represents the intolerant left. And this is where, on Telephone Tuesday, I was wondering if anyone has stories along these lines to share. The phone lines are open at 241-9797. Now, I'm talking about things that may have happened to you, and here's my example. I've had a couple of times, but this happened at a bar in South City where I had a friend that introduced me to a boss of his who was in a nonprofit, like a children's charity. And this is when I'm on Camo X. I'm following Rush Limbaugh. This goes back like 15, 16 years probably. He introduces me to this woman. She literally looks at me and she walks away because of my politics. Walks away. Doesn't say hi. Now, this has happened a couple times. In the more recent years, especially with Trump in the past 6 months, I've had friends that have pretty much decided I'm a Nazi and disowned me. And a couple of these people have been very close to me. So what Sasha says, though, is, yeah, maybe Tipper Gore was trying to purge obscenity from song lyrics. She was more like a centrist or a moderate, though. I'm not sure that's quite how we arrived where we are now. And I think Sasha agrees with me. It's not really how we arrived here. It was an interesting example. But she says it's rooted in defining ourselves for the first time as the good people doing good things side, which we never were before. So she kind of goes into this explanation of how in the past, goodness was tied to Christianity, which was tied to traditionalism, was something on the left that they pushed back against, but not anymore. So she says we are a lost generation full of hopelessness and despair. The mental health revolution meant that we had to fix ourselves. Then we had to fix the country. We were already headed toward goodness before Obama won in 2008, but his influence brought us together in a common purpose as good progressives. Everything we did always had to reflect our goodness, what we bought, how we spoke, what we wore, whom we dated, where our kids went to school, what our kids ate, whether our kids were well-behaved and happy. And then she describes it this way. She says, over time, that goodness was transposed into identity as we began ranking people by gender and skin color. Because of that, had to fix our past as well as our present and future. Then it became, if you're not white or LGBTQIA+, you were good as long as you were already ideologically compliant. If you were white or hetero, you were only good on a conditional basis. This is what's happened to the left over the course of the last 10 to 15 years. Once you define your group by goodness, anyone who breaks the rules of language and behavior is now by definition bad. So, you know, you had a situation where they were making examples of the bad people, so everyone knew the rules suddenly. And Sasha says that our utopia became dystopia when Trump won. All of that cancel culture was just a way to show people what would happen to them if they didn't follow the rules or were somehow deemed bad, because once you're designated bad, you are disposable. So she kind of goes, you know, on and on here to some reasons why this happens and, you know, how power is certainly a big reason here. The old left would have been concerned about climate change or gun control. The new left is concerned about transgender kids and abortion. To them, those are the life or death issues. And I thought it was interesting because they have a lot of rage. They have a lot of anger. And that anger is kind of focused on entitlement. They fix themselves, their children, their country, their past, their present, their future. And now here you are all, those of you who voted for Trump, you Nazis out there, you're trying to destroy it all. And they believe that they're in power and you should back off and just run away. And now the internet amplifies all these crazy people, and certainly this happens on both sides. But the question that she asks, and maybe this is a little off, she says, why aren't the people on the MAGA side hysterical? So, for example, where are the MAGA people? Where are the people maybe on our side that are disowning friends, that are calling people these names, that don't want to even be in social circumstances, that literally walk away from people when they're introduced? I don't know conservatives like that. I don't know people on my side. Are there bad people who voted for Trump, bad people who are Republicans? Of course. But what in the world happened with the intolerant left? Because we all know people like this, I think most people do. And I'm not putting, you know, Jane in this category or Steve Butts, who's on the round table. But man, there are a lot of people who are in that category for sure. 241-9797, Telephone Tuesday, 314-241-9797. I'd be curious to see how many people have been dropped by family members and things along those lines. All right, you can also talk about Tesla if you want to weigh in on some of the Tesla stuff or anything else this afternoon. So let's go to the phones here before I take a break. Willie, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Good afternoon.
Great. Thanks for having an open line. It's been a long, I'm just glad you're doing it. Once a week, that's fine. I wish it was more.
Well, we'll see how long it lasts. We got to have participation. So I'm kind of doing this as a little bit of an experiment, too.
And I love the roundtable. It's probably the best radio show that it probably is in St. Louis.
There's no doubt.
I love
it. There's zero doubt, Willie. Yeah, that's not debatable even. But yeah, I appreciate that.
Now, about me, I'm a strange breed here. Totally pro Second Amendment, except I would like universal background checks, but I'm pro Second Amendment. You can have as many weapons as you want, no matter what they are, even, and I'm not kidding, even a tank. I'm not kidding. Okay, now I'm pro Second Amendment. I'm anti abortion for convenience. So no convenient abortion, that definitely is murder. So okay, that puts me on, I'm on the right. I'm also on the left on numerous issues that I'll call you hopefully once a week and probably challenge you. It won't make it won't make any sense for me to call you if I'm going to agree, will it?
Okay. So, well, that's true. I'm all for the debate. That's good. Spirited conversation is something I'm looking for.
Today, we might not have time for something I want to get into. Should I, or should I just wait till next time?
No, let's go. Let's go for it right now.
Okay. Here's something that bothers me about you and some others.
Okay.
They're not talking about the Minneapolis police, Louisville, Chicago. I could go on with a long list of about 10 from the 21st century who the Department of Justice puts out these reports, and they're scathing reports, and how racist they are against the black citizens, and how Minneapolis in particular, the worst one I read was from a year and a half ago, Minneapolis police, they have a pattern and practice of using deadly force when no force is necessary and there is no threat to anybody, and they have deemed them as racist.
Here's the question, Willie, though. Who has deemed that? Like, who's making the judgment on some of these things?
The Department of Justice report. Okay. Have you ever read these?
I've done something that most people here in St. Louis has never done. I've read the Department of Justice report on Ferguson. I've also read the FBI report, which definitively declared that the police officer, Darren Wilson, did nothing wrong. So, yes, I am familiar with these. But you also have to understand, whoever's running the Department of Justice is going to create and carve out the narrative at which that they would hope for. Now, are there examples of racism in the police department? Absolutely. But I would encourage you, and we can have these conversations on a weekly basis, I would encourage you to listen in the next hour to my guest at around 5:30, Mike Pesca, because Mike's going to offer an example of something that happened with the police department that was totally justifiable, but the media wants to paint it in a different direction. So I think what happens here in many situations is, and I understand you sound concerned about Louisville. Let's talk about Breonna Taylor in Louisville, where she was actually calling and making calls to the dude in prison, trying to alert him to situations that might affect his drug circumstances. So she wasn't exactly as clean as everyone kind of portrayed her as. Did she deserve to be shot and killed? She did not. But there was a lot more to that story. So I look forward to more conversations here in the weeks to come. Bill, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Good. I had a son found out that I had voted for Trump and wrote me a hateful letter and disowned me and is in the process of changing his name and no longer wanted to be associated with my name at all.
Wait, just to be clear, this was your own son who's doing this?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's just, it's devastating.
It's sad. Just absolutely sad.
And it's all over Trump?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you see a window where things might, improve in the future or not?
I pray for that every day, but right. I don't know if that will happen or not.
I know, dude. It's rough. And the only thing I can tell you is I'm lucky this has not come up with my kids because they are, far away from my politics. But I've mentioned this situation a couple times. I have a friend of 45 years in it's bizarre because I was even thinking in the kitchen this morning, there was some music stuff that I was thinking about. And, my ordinary instinct would be to call him and to talk about music. And I feel like I can't even do that right now because he's put my behavior in the center of this. When I say my behavior, it's simply my vote and my support for Trump. That's my behavior. So my behavior is being questioned by the friend, and it's all about Trump to him. To me, has nothing to do with Trump. You're my friend. You've been my friend for 45 years, but people look at this stuff differently right now. Jump on in here if you want to participate in Telephone Tuesday, 241-9797. Congresswoman Ann Wagner coming up in the next hour right after Fox News at 3. It's Telephone Tuesday. We're taking some phone calls here this afternoon, and I do have a few more to get to before the end of the hour. Jim, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark. We've met. I'm Fred's neighbor, Jim.
Awesome. How are you, Jim? Great to hear from you.
I'm doing great. A couple of things real quick. I have brothers and sisters. I don't talk to politics because they're just loony libs. My kids are in their early 40s, late 30s. They're liberal, but we don't talk politics. That way we keep peace. But, Mark, I'll tell you, my biggest gripe is this. The libs were so intent on us having a raise of the minimum wage and everything else like that. But, Mark, have you ever noticed we still average 200,000 people a week that go on unemployment? We have almost 1.9 million people in this country who are out of work. And they're living off, as I call it, the tit of the government. And then you talk, then they all get mad about immigration. Well, I understand, but all these restaurants that hire people that are illegal immigrants, well, of course, they're not paying into the system, but again, living off the system. And the Dems and the Libs seem to have no problem for it. They all went pity farm. That's what aggravates me, Mark. People should be working. We can't have 1.9 million people on average a week not working. That's
well, you're always going to have, you know, a few million people technically out of work. And some of the issue goes to, you know, do young white males want to work? We've heard that question in the aftermath of the pandemic. But I get your point completely. And I think one of the things that Republicans are trying to do, and they're going to be demagogued over this issue, is, you know, you're going to hear about cuts to Medicaid. Well, no, they're just trying to put work requirements on Medicaid so you don't get to suck off the teat of the government, as you indicated. So I am with you on part of the point for sure. Let's see here. This is so weird when I take phone calls. I have to remember what lines I'm pressing. Tony, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good.
So I was calling. I kind of have the opposite. I am more Democratic. I lean more Democratic, but I love your show. I love the roundtable. I agree. I think that's some of the best radio going on. I have family that does the opposite. My family, my mom and my stepdad, they are both staunch Republicans. And so in discussions that we have with family, even if it's not brought up, things are brought up when I'm at their house, when we're on vacation, that it's all the Democrats' fault. And so in turn, that trickles down like on my shoulders that I'm the one who voted.
So in other words, they're kind of poking, they're poking at you to get a reaction too.
Yes and no. They are all just Trump backers till the end. I mean, there's nothing he does wrong either. So it's very hard to kind of, you know, get through those blinders at all.
I understand that that's a challenge, but I guess where I would, and maybe there's not a difference, so bear with me here, Tony. So what I look at is a lot of people on the left that are just not tolerant of anything, and they don't even want to talk to people. They just want to put them, cast them aside, even if they've been friends or family members, because in theory, they've supported a Nazi. I simply don't see as much of that happening on the other side. Now, could it be happening? Certainly. I would hope that it wouldn't, but that was kind of my point, just about the differences when it comes to, you know, being tolerant. And it's one thing kind of poking and bringing up issues, but I do think it's completely different when you say, you're not welcome at my home, I don't want to see you, I never want to talk to you again, I'm going to change my name, things along those lines, if you understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, there are certain extremities, absolutely. I was actually kind of excited that a Republican won this time, just so, you know, wouldn't have to be everything, you know, against...
We're going to bring you over to our side because you're listening to this show, Tony. I really do, you know, appreciate that you come from a different perspective and you listen, and we're going to get you around soon enough. But thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Congressman Wagner is coming up.